Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Series, our grace series, everybody say grace. As mentioned before, we don't have our projection, so you guys are going to have to actually use your own Bibles, projector. You guys have to use your own Bibles. But to conclude today, I want to open up with a question, or if anybody has a question about this series. We talked a lot about grace, and I know that this was eye-opening for many of you. But I'd love to hear from you. Anybody has a question about anything I said over the last almost 2 months we've been on this series? Anything, any question about what we've been touching on grace. So we talked about how grace is God's undeserved, unmerited favor. We talked about how grace reigns through righteousness. And we talked about how important the gift of righteousness is. That understanding that we have been made right with God, not according to our own strength, but God has given us righteousness as a gift, which means that we didn't have to earn it, we didn't have to work for it. That means that today, if you are a believer in Christ, you don't have to try to become right with God. You already are right with God. And being right with God means that you have access to God, that the blessings of God are yours, that the peace of God is yours, the provision of God is yours. And it's so important that we understand this thing called righteousness, because how you relate to God is based on how you view your righteousness is achieved. If you believe that righteousness is going to come from your good behavior and your good works, then that means that the basis for you relating to God is perfection. That the basis for you relating to God is your performance. So you feel qualified to come to God. If you believe righteousness comes from your own works, then you feel qualified to come to God based on your own works. But the minute when you're not working right, or you believe that you're not living right, or you slip up and you sin, which we all do and mess up at times, if you feel that you can't come into God's presence and you're not justified enough because you are depending on your own self, then that means your righteousness is still wrapped up in you. And there is no self, there is no righteousness other than the righteousness that comes from God. Amen? Your righteousness is as filthy rags, which means that one of the things I love about this is that when I come to church, I don't have to play pretend. When I come into the presence of God, I don't have to pretend. I don't have to cover up myself and put on my fig leaves like Adam and Eve did to feel like, well, let me put this on because I don't know if God is going to accept me the way that I am. But when you understand this grace message, it means you can come to God no matter how you are. You can come to God no matter what you've done, because you're not coming to God based on your own righteousness or your own merits. You're coming to God based on Jesus' righteousness and the blood he shed for you. Amen. So one of the signs that you're growing and you're maturing in grace is that you learn to become more transparent with your life. When you're growing in grace, you don't have to try to prove yourself all the time. You don't have to fight to be right all the time. Because the truth be told, the reality is all of us are wrong in this place. Understanding that there's only one that's righteous, there's only one that's good, then that means all of us are wrong. We all got wrong opinions. We all got wrong biases. We all have things in our lives in which when we interpret life through faulty lenses, right? None of us know everything. None of us know the truth. So we all need to come into God's presence with a spirit of humility. Okay, amen? And when that happens and we disarm ourselves from the spirit of self-righteousness that rules and runs and governs religious entities and religious spirits, when we learn how to free ourselves from that, which is what the grace message completely does, it pulls us out of this faulty view that we think that we have to try to be right all the time. You know what I mean? And we can come to God with our brokenness. We can come to God with the faults in our lives, with the failures in our lives, and not feel ashamed about it, because we all have faults. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the good news is that although we've all sinned and fallen short, we all have been given the gift of righteousness and an abundance of grace through one man, Jesus Christ, so we can reign in life. Hallelujah. I love this message. I can preach grace from now until Jesus comes. And there's always one group of people who get mad whenever I preach the gospel or preach this grace. And it's the people who think that they're moral. See, people who feel that they're moral and they're moral people get offended when they hear grace. Because in my morality and my good behavior, what I do should count for something more than the person who's a sinner. But in God's sight, there's only one that's good. Do you know that even Jesus even said about himself that there's only one good, and that's the Father? Even Jesus didn't even call himself good. Remember when he's talking to the rich young ruler? And the rich young ruler believed that he was good, and he actually called Jesus good because he was trying to connect to Jesus on the basis of morality. And Jesus was saying, no, you're not going to try to connect to me on morality. Let me see how good you are. Take all that you have and sell it and give it all away to the poor. Let me see how moral you are. And the Bible says that that man could not do it because great were his possessions, right? And he walked away. And we touched on this, I believe, a few weeks ago or a few months ago in another series, a reset series, right? And that this man wanted to inherit eternal life. He wanted to try to find out how to inherit eternal life. He thought it was going to come because the Bible says that he was a very disciplined individual. He was rich. He had a lot going on for himself. The Bible says that he kept the law from his youth. But then Jesus pointed out something. He said, there's still one thing that you lack. Let me tell you something. If you live your life under law, there will always be one thing you lack. Doesn't matter how good you think you are, you're always going to lack one thing, something that disqualifies you from God based on your own performance. God does not want any single one of us to come before him based on our own strength, based on our own righteousness, and we come to him based on the basis of Jesus Christ. Amen? So I want to wrap this series up. Nobody has a question. I'll just keep flowing. Open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Somebody's going to have a question by the time I'm done, so I'll take one after I'm finished. Romans 8, verse 1. There's so much that I can say, so much that I can share on this, but I ask the Holy Spirit to give me a precise word to conclude the series. And he led me here. I'm going to read Romans 8, verse 1. When you have it, say amen. All right. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the what? Flesh, but after the Spirit. I want you to say something with me. Say, I am a spirit. I am a spirit. One more time. I am a spirit. I have a soul, and I live in a body. Say, I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. I want to tell you who you are. I want to teach you who you really are. You know when God, the Bible says God created you in his image and his likeness? right? God created you in his image and likeness. The book of Genesis tells us this, that you were created to look like God, to function like God, operate like God. Now, the Bible tells us in John chapter 4, verse 24, that God is what? Spirit. And they that worship him must worship him where? In spirit. God is spirit. So if God created you in his image and in his likeness, and God is spirit, then which part of these three components are you really? What is it? If God is spirit and he created you in his image, which part is really like God the most? Your spirit. Okay? If we're going to worship God, how are we going to worship him? Jesus said. In spirit and in truth. So that means I can't worship him in the body, in the flesh. It also means that I can't worship him in the soul. The only place you and I worship God is in spirit. The only place you fully connect to God is your spirit. The only place that looks just like God in your life is your spirit. Okay? So the Bible says that when God created Adam, he formed him out of the dust, right? He formed him. I want you to use your imagination with me. He formed him out of the dust of the ground. And then here was Adam's body laying on the floor, lifeless. His body was prepared for him, but then he was lifeless. Until what? God breathed, the Bible says, the breath of life into him. And then the Bible says he became a living soul. But when the Bible says God breathed, the original word for that word breath or breathe actually translates into spirit. Thank you. So when God breathed, his spirit into man, the body, then the body became alive, and then he became a living soul. But until the spirit was breathed into the body, he had no soul. You see, most people don't even recognize that there is a difference between soul and the spirit. It's two different parts of you. So you are a tripartite being. All three of you, you are also a trinity, just like God. There are three parts of you. So it's like this cup of water. Inside this, we have a cup that's containing the water, and then this air also inside of this cup. Okay? Now, you see the water, you see the cup, but you don't see the air. But it's there. How this looks like is, this is you, the body. And this is the part that we all see right now. I see your physical body. I see the physical. But this is just simply the container. It's just the shell. It's just the vessel in which the real you is in. Because that's why once this body, if I break this cup up, everything that's in there is going to leak out. And you no longer are in your body anymore. But you are still alive. Right? I'm going to make sense of how this connects to grace real soon. But I need to teach you this. So the real you is your spirit, and you don't see it. You don't see your spirit. But we see the external. So this is the container. Say, my body is my container. It's my vessel. Okay, that's all this is. It's a shell. Like a turtle has a shell, this is the shell. And the real you is inside of you. Now, God is spirit. If I'm going to commune with him, I need to understand how my spirit works. Do you know that in Ephesians 2, verse 1, the Bible tells us this, Ephesians 2, verse 1, that we were dead. I'm not going to turn to it. The Bible says that we were dead in trespasses and sin. Remember what the Bible says that God told Adam, if the day you eat from this tree, you shall surely what? Die. So Adam and Eve ate, but then did they die that immediately? No. Or did they? All right. So now when Adam and Eve sinned, God said you will die, but physically they kept living. So the body didn't die as soon as they ate from the tree. So that meant something else in them died. So their soul was still in operation, but I'll tell you what the soul is in a minute, but what happened was this part, when sin entered into the equation, guess what happened? The spirit died when sin came into man's body, but the soul and the body still functioned. And what happened was the soul then had to take the place of the spirit. Because what was the purpose of the spirit? The spirit is what connected you to God. Because God is spirit. It was the spirit that allowed me to have communion with God. To hear God's voice. To walk with him. To recognize him. To know him. Once my spirit died and I lost eternal life. Because in John 17:3, Jesus told us this is eternal life. And that is to know God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. Eternal life is not just living forever. Eternal life is a relationship you have with the life giver, with God himself. That's why as soon as you know God, eternal life is restored to you. Because now your spirit is now back to life. But this all have expiration dates. Just like Adam, he no longer had eternal life. So although he lived for a very long time, eventually he had to die. Because he was no longer connected to the source. So Jesus now comes, dies for our sins. So if sin is what deactivated us, it disconnected us from God. When Jesus came to deal with sin, what he was coming to do was not just remove sin, but it was also to get the spirit man back alive again. Hallelujah. And before that, mankind went through years after years simply depending on the soul and the body. That's why most people think the soul and the spirit are the same thing, but it's not. One of the functions of the Bible says, or the Word of God in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, I think it's 12, where it says, the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Piercing the dividing asunder of joint and marrow. And one of the things it does is that it also divides the soul from the spirit. That's what it says. To divide the soul from the spirit. So many of us today, most what we call carnal Christians, are believers who never learned how to distinguish the soul from the spirit. Remember, the only way I'm going to walk with God is learning how to walk in the spirit. So this takes us back to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 tells us, now there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk how? Not after the flesh. So you can also call the body the flesh, right? To those who don't walk after the flesh, but after the spirit. So, if I'm going to live a victorious Christian life, I have to know how to walk after the Spirit. How many of you have ever been taught how to walk in the Spirit? How many of you have learned how to interact with your Spirit? If you're going to worship Him, you got to learn how to worship in Spirit. So, if you don't know about your Spirit and how it operates, how are we worshiping Him every Sunday? Or every time we gather. Come on. Say, I am a spirit. I have a soul. Now the soul, the difference between the spirit and soul, if you want to write this down, the soul is where your mind is. The soul is where your mind is. The soul is where your feelings are. Your personality is inside of your soul. So that's why although God breathes the breath of life and we're all breathing that breath of life together, we all have different personalities, right? We all are different individuals, although we have the same spirit. But we're all different because the way God, hallelujah, the way God uniquely designed us is that although he breathed into us the same spirit, there's only one spirit, he breathed that spirit into us, but then we all come alive and have different personalities, different personas, amen? We all have different ways we interact and relate to the world because it takes every single one of us in this room and all the millions and billions of people that ever lived, it takes all of us combined, all of us combined to try to reflect God. One person is not enough to try to reflect God because that's how big God is. It takes all of us. We all have a different side of God in us, a different perspective of God in us that we all need to see and witness so that when we come together as a family and come together, we can become one and reflect the image of God. Come on. So, you have a soul, your mind, your feelings, your emotions, this all go on in your soul. It's important, but your emotions and your feelings cannot dictate the spirit because the spirit is the one that's supposed to have the most authority in your life. Until that happens, you'll be ruled by your flesh, the impulses, you'll be ruled by your feelings, but then God can never lead you. God can never guide you. You cannot learn how to follow God if you don't know how to follow your spirit. Let me tell you something beautiful about your spirit. Do you know that when Jesus Christ came and died for your sins and he saved you, the part of you that got saved is your spirit? Do you understand that? So when Jesus died for your sins and totally made you right with him, the part of you that's completely righteous is your spirit. That's why you can be a Christian and still sin. Although you are right, your spirit is perfect. Your spirit is complete in him. Your spirit is accepted. Your spirit is blameless, according to Ephesians 1. Your spirit is as perfect as it will ever be. But then what needs to happen is, guess what's happening? Your soul now is being saved. So your spirit got saved when Jesus died for you. Your soul is being saved as you renew your mind. When you fast and break your flesh so that you learn how to get the spirit to now have greater influence than the body and the soul. So your soul is now being saved and then your body will be saved when Christ comes back and he totally changes our body from corruptible to incorruptible. Then we'll never have to worry about the urges that still linger on the inside of us. You hear me? But your spirit deep within you, you are already as perfect and as righteous as eternity will ever have you be. You are just like God 100% in your spirit. And now the Bible says you got to work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. Working out simply means that what's in me, I have to get it out of me. Just like you go to the gym and you work out to bring out what's in you, the strength that's in you. Come on, the stamina and the endurance in you. It's already there, but you got to work it out. That's what's going on in your spirit. God has deposited provision and wisdom and sanctification and righteousness, justification. All that God will ever, ever want to give you, he's already given it to you. Hallelujah. But you got to work it out. Say, I got to work it out. I got to bring it out of my soul, and I got to work this thing. I got to renew my mind according to who I am in Jesus, not according to who I am in the flesh. And so when we don't understand that, we'll hear the grace message. The Holy Spirit said it like this to me. He said, when the flesh hears grace, it craves sin. But when the spirit hears grace, it craves righteousness. When the flesh or your body hears the grace message, it says, well, I got grace. I can go and do whatever I want. Right? The flesh hears it and says, well, I can do, I can indulge and God will forgive me. But then there's a war in you because now your spirit is saying, wait a minute, this is what I've been waiting for. I've been waiting for this, this grace that's going to set me free from the bondage of sin, so that I can be all that God says I am, so that I can step into and mature into my full identity. My true nature is God, not sin. So now my spirit says, I want more of God. I want to live like God. I want to serve God. I want to heal the sick. I want to raise the dead. I want to cast out devils. Come on, I want to multiply food. I want to be just like Jesus on the earth. So the Bible says creation is groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Those who walk not after the flesh, but are led by the Spirit. Sons of God, that's you. But that's the you in you. That's the you on the inside of you. So now grace is the only way we can bypass the guilt and the shame. Because remember, the soul is in the way. The soul got all these feelings. So when the devil tempts you, he's not tempting your spirit. He's tempting your body and your soul. That's why you can say if you're sick in your body, you're healed. I said, that's why you can say you're healed if you're sick in your body. I'm not looking at my flesh only. I'm looking at my identity in Christ, who I am in the Spirit. I am already healed. So guess what? You work out your salvation by confessing with your mouth. See, Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. Your words are spirit. So when you speak, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, what you're doing is you're getting your soul to now come under the authority of what your spirit man is saying. Hallelujah. When you declare the word of God, you are declaring who God says you are. And grace, watch this, grace is the empowering presence of God enabling you to live the way God sees you already. Grace is not just, see, there's two parts of grace. There's two parts. There is the acceptance grace, which is what we talked about. You're already righteous. You've already been forgiven. You're already loved by God, completely loved. You can never make yourself more right than you already are. You're perfect. You're blameless. That's the first part of grace. That's the acceptance grace. That's what Jesus did for you. But the second part of grace is what the Holy Spirit does in you. And that's the empowering grace. So the acceptance grace is that I know who I am. I'm loved by God. I'm blessed already. Amen? That stuff. The stuff that we declare and declare about and decree about ourselves, that's the acceptance part. But then the second part of grace was when the Holy Spirit now comes. And now he enables you to live according to who you are in your spirit. Amen? So Romans 8, look at what it says. Who has it? Verse 2. I got the New Living Translation, but I know many of you guys know the King James, so I want to break it down from the King James really quick. Romans 8, so verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. There is no expectation of guilt or punishment for those who are in Christ, Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Say, I'm no longer walking after the flesh because I know who I am now. Verse 2, watch this. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life. Do you know what the law of life is? It's Preston. I'll let him sleep if he sleeps. All right. We all understand that when a baby is born, they have to grow up. And they don't know how to walk yet. They don't know how to talk yet. But guess what happens? Over time, that baby will begin to mature and begin to do what it already could do. It's already in it to do. As long as that baby is in an environment where they're being encouraged, they're being cultivated and nurtured, and they're being fed, most importantly, if they're being fed, then it will grow. So, remember, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that's proceeding out of the mouth of God. So he connects the life that we have not just with the food we eat, which only satisfies the flesh. But then there's another realm of diet that we need that's only reserved for our spirit. So now you're born again. Remember that? You're born again in Christ. You are a brand new creature. All things have passed away. But you don't. Many of us don't see ourselves. It's like you're starting over as a baby now. And now your spirit is learning how to take baby steps. Your spirit is learning how to wake up. And that's why the Bible tells us you still can't give a person meat if they're still a babe. Talking about your spirit. In your flesh, you might say, well, I'm grown. And you can say, like, I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But you don't know if you can do those things if in your own mind, in your own soul, and in your own spirit, you have not fed your spirit with the food or the nutrients that it needs. Right? So watch this. Revelation knowledge, or what God reveals to you, the bread that's coming from God's mouth, revelation knowledge is the bread of your spirit. Revelation knowledge, hearing God's voice, God speaking to you, then becomes the bread that your spirit needs to live. You guys with me? Don't let your flesh get in the way. I'm speaking to your spirit now. Revelation knowledge, not just natural knowledge, revealed knowledge from the word of God or from the voice of God is the bread that your spirit needs to grow up. That's why a person can be dead in church and dead and they come to church, but they're not hearing spirit-lit, spirit-filled messages, and you're not hearing revelation and truth, then your spirit is going to remain premature. There's a lot of premature baby Christians only because they just haven't been fed the word of God that's going to bring them life. Religion will keep you malnourished. Revelation will grow you up and mature you and will teach you how to become a son of God. That's what we're doing right now. So that's why I'm preaching past your flesh. I'm not preaching about your enemies. I'm not preaching about your haters. You don't need that anymore. You need word that's going to bring your spirit alive. Come on. You can grow up. People have been preaching to your soul and your body, and you never see change, do you? Everything you already need is in you. If only you believe that. Come on. There are billion-dollar ideas laying dormant on the inside of you right now that your spirit, which is connected to Almighty God, if you learn how to tune into him more than your body and your flesh, you can now begin to hear those ideas and you can begin to respond in faith, because that's what it takes now. Now you walk by faith, not by sight. You're not walking after the flesh. You're walking after the spirit. So when you walk by faith, you know, God spoke to me and he said I should invest here. God spoke to me and he said I should start this ministry. I should start this movement. I didn't want to start Hungry for God. Do you get that? I didn't want to pastor a church. But the more and more I tuned in to God and tuned into my spirit, man, this is what was attracted to me. Because this is what God had ordained for me before the foundation of the earth. See? People go from state to state trying to find peace. So I'm going to move to Miami. I'm going to move to Atlanta. I'm going to move to California. And they're trying all this stuff and nothing seems to work because they're following their soul. But if you learn how to quiet yourself down and enter into rest and learn how to listen to the voice of your spirit, God will show you exactly where you should be, what you should do. And as long as you follow the spirit, it brings life and peace, Romans 8 says. Hallelujah. Come on. So I got to wrap up. So Romans 8 says, not a law. I didn't explain the law of life. So because this is how life works, what's in you is already there. But then you have to grow up into it, right? It takes time. And it happens instinctively. Like, I can't tell Preston when it's time for him to walk. When it's time for him to walk, he will walk. That's what the law of religion tries to do, is force you to do things that your spirit isn't ready to do yet. But when you release people to grace, what happens is now you come into the state of rest. And out of rest, you just simply allow God to now instruct when it's time for you to do something. And then when you do it, you want to do it. You're not forced to do it. Religion will force you to do stuff. Religion will tell you, you know, you have to serve God. You have to read your Bible. You have to pray. But then it becomes a struggle, right? It becomes, when you think that way, you live that way and function that way, you're doing it out of only your flesh. And guess what happens? Your flesh has weaknesses. Your flesh has limitations. Your flesh gets bored with God. Because your flesh wants to do what it wants to do, but your spirit wants all of God. It wants to do what God wants to do. So now I have to now, when I rest in this truth, I walk after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. We're no longer under law, we're under grace. And under grace, you have been given the gift of righteousness. So walking after the Spirit is not this mystical thing where you walk around looking weird. Walking after the Spirit, all that means is that you are now walking under the reality that you are righteous in Christ. That's walking after the Spirit. You are believing who your spirit has been made in Jesus. And as you believe and you begin to walk according to your new identity in Christ, you're walking after the Spirit, not after the flesh. You're walking after your identity of who you are in Jesus. Right? So that's why if my spirit wakes me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and says, you need to pray. Anybody can relate to that? Your flesh doesn't want to do it. So why are you still going back and forth? If your flesh, I don't feel like praying, but you feel like praying. Because now your spirit is saying, this is what you need to do now. This is what I'm asking you to do. And it is now you have to submit and surrender to your spirit. And every single time you respond to your spirit, it makes it easier to obey it next time. But if you disobey the Spirit, man, when he speaks to you, then you begin to become hardened. You have a hardened heart. And then it becomes harder to hear the voice of God the next time he speaks to you. So that's why you want to obey God's voice when you hear him. So because the more you do it, you begin to develop a momentum or a rhythm in the Spirit. And you learn how to walk after the Spirit. I clearly remember when the very first time I heard God speak to me, and I knew exactly when it was. I was sitting down in my living room watching Martin. 1990, I don't remember the year. Something. And I was watching it. It was a commercial break. And while I'm sitting there watching the commercial, it was about 14 years old, 15 years old, I heard a voice say, turn off the TV and go upstairs in your room. I didn't want to do it. I was in the middle of the show. That was my favorite show. So I'm watching the commercial break, and I'm here, I'm in my spirit, I'm feeling this thought that I should go in my room and read the Bible. That's what he said, go in your room and open up your Bible. After the next half of the show, I'm still feeling this tug in my spirit, and I just felt this unrest. The minute I looked around, the second time I heard it again. See, many times when people say they hear the voice of God, very rare that people hear God's voice externally. Why? Because it's your spirit that God is speaking to. He's not speaking to your flesh. He's speaking in here. He's speaking to your internal, the internal reality, who you are in here. So your spirit hears it, but it sounds like a voice coming from outside, but it's really coming from inside. That's why nobody else hears it. Samuel thought Eli was calling him. But it was God calling him from within. All right. God said to me, go and turn off the TV and go read your Bible. After the second time he did it, I turned it off. And I'm like looking around like, what's going on? It was new to me. And I got up, put the remote down. And it was weird because nobody told me to do this. My mother would tell me to turn off the TV. Nobody told me to do this. I turn it off, I go up into my room, and I ask the Lord, what next? And he showed me to read Romans. And I just went to Romans. I think it probably was around here, Romans 8 or something. I started reading it, and I didn't even really know what I was reading, because I wasn't really an avid Bible reader at the time. But something in me, it was giving me life. It was something unique. This time, instead of somebody telling me to read my Bible, I did it out of obedience to what I felt God tell me to do. And as I did it this time, it was a whole new experience. Whole new experience. That's why in this church, I'm not going to tell you what to do with your life. Because to teach you how to be mature is to teach you how to listen to God for yourself and make decisions in response to what God tells you to do. So people come to me and ask me, Pastor, should I make this decision? What do you think? What is God telling you? You hear that? Why? Because I want to train you to know the voice of God, because that's eternal life. Religion is you go to somebody else. You go to somebody else. You go to somebody else to tell you how to live your life. No, no, no. This is the new covenant. And under the new covenant, there is no mediator. There is no middleman. There is no veil. There is no one who has to go to God on your behalf. No, you go to God for yourself. Jesus died so that every single one of us can come to the throne of grace. So every one of us can come to him and know him for ourselves. That's what grace does. Grace gives you the power to live like God and to be like God and to do whatever God asks you to do. That's what grace does. Hallelujah. I gotta end. So let's get through that. I'm gonna get up. Let me try to, I can't read all of this for now. But I wanna teach you. Do you realize sin was a law? Sin was the law. You cannot break a law and get away with it, can you? Not in the natural, neither in the spirit. So the only way God was going to set you free from sin was by instituting another law that's greater than that law. It's like gravity. No matter how high I jump, I'm going to come down because gravity is a law. But there's another law that gives me the ability to overcome the law of gravity. It's called the law of thermodynamics. That's how planes are able to fly and sustain itself above the law of gravity for however long it does. Because that law gives us the ability to override that law. So the way God said, the law of sin is that, you know, if you depend on your own self, you will sin. It's a law. But there's another law that's greater than the law of sin. And that's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. For verse 3, what the law could not do in that it was weak because of the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So you remember, God became, in Jesus Christ, God became flesh. The word of God became flesh and dwelt among us for 33 years. God became man to deal with sin for us. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? God, who is spirit, decided to put on a body, give himself a body to come, to live like us. Why? Because he lived like us so that we can eventually learn how to live like him. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. I'm going to end right in here, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I'm going to end here with this. If you read Romans, you notice that when it said the word spirit, you notice that it was capital S, not little s. Because when it was talking about the spirit, it wasn't just talking only about your personal spirit. He's also talking about the Holy Spirit. You see? So that's why I said, what happened is this. If we're no longer under the law, Sharon, what's going to keep a Christian from not going out and living a hellish life? If we are fully transitioned out of the law, like we learned last week, that we no longer are to live under the law. We're no longer supposed to look to the law for any ounce of strength or righteousness. How do I live a holy life and a righteous life? What prevents Christians from not going out and sinning? Because God sent the Holy Spirit to replace the job of the law. You see? I don't know if I should have said that because of the time. So now, the Holy Spirit, guess what happened, what God did supernaturally? You want to know what happened to your spirit? You know how your spirit came back alive? When you were born again, God sent His Spirit to join your spirit. So that's why Paul said, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say you're the temple of your spirit. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. But where does the Holy Spirit now live? In your spirit. The two become one. So there's this holy union that took place. Your spirit, God's spirit, the communion of the Holy Spirit is where we are now walking with God, and it's now the voice of God in your spirit that causes you to live a glorious life. So now the Spirit has merged with your spirit. You are alive in Christ because the Holy Spirit now has been deposited in you, and the Bible says that He is living in you and He's not going anywhere. So in the Old Testament, the Spirit will come here and there, but then He will leave. But when Christ died for you and removed sin from you, He now gave the Holy Spirit permission to fill you and remain in you as long as you both shall live. I thought I was going to get a better response than that. See? But what the law could not do in the old covenant, the Spirit can do. Let me show you this. Peter walked with Jesus for 3 years under the law. Because the Spirit didn't come until the day of Pentecost, right? Peter walked with Jesus for 3 years. Worked miracles. Healed the sick. Raised the dead, did amazing stuff. But when Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, that same Peter ended up denying Jesus 3 times. Not only did he deny Jesus, Brother Nick, but when a little girl said, "Hey, I know you. You were the man that walked with Jesus," the Bible said that he cursed the little girl out. He cursed at her. To disassociate himself from Jesus. Said, "I don't know him. I don't know the bleeping man." So they said, there's no way that he can walk with Jesus if he's cursing. Right? But he did it out of fear. Under the law, it did not make him right. Hallelujah. But watch this. That same Peter, who was a coward, who denied Jesus, who was a cusser, who did all that stuff, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came up on him, that same Peter boldly got up and began to preach outside to the point where 3,000 people got saved when he preached under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So what Jesus couldn't do in 3 years with Peter, the Holy Spirit was able to do in one encounter with Peter. One touch, one infilling of the Holy Spirit did more in Peter than 3 years of walking with Jesus. Woo! What the law could not do because the flesh was weak, the Spirit is able to do. That's why we're moving from the law and coming under grace. Because now under grace, the Holy Spirit comes and He begins to be for us what the law could never do for us. Come on. So, you have to make a decision today. Am I going to stay under the law? Am I going to try to depend on my own flesh and my own strength? Or am I going to totally turn my back on the law? Am I totally going to walk away from the law and stand fast in this liberty in which Christ set us free so that we can walk in the Spirit, so that we can allow the Holy Spirit to take His rightful place of authority in our lives? Come on. See, the Holy Spirit is more than shouting and singing and dancing. The Holy Spirit teaches you how to live like God. He's called the Holy Spirit, not the joy spirit, the love spirit, the dance spirit, the Holy Spirit, because when he comes inside of you, he's making you holy. He's making you just like God. Woo, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. And you have to say, I'm no longer going to stay under the law. I want to live under the Spirit. I want to walk after the Spirit, not walk after the flesh. I'm not going to depend on my own strength anymore. I'm going to depend on God's strength, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's Christianity. I gotta read this. Fast forward to the end of verse 9, and we're going to stop here. Verse 8 and 9. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. Say, I am not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. How? If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to Christ. The only way you can be a Christian is that the Spirit of Christ is in you. So you can't say, I don't want the Holy Spirit. You can't pick and choose. He's non-negotiable. To be saved is to have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And as he's in you, church, he is now teaching you how to live the way that Christ intended for you to be. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Spirit is life because of righteousness. Amen? So as I close, I'm just going to declare this over you. You find out who you are? Say, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. I wrote this down. I just want to share this for the recording, right? So watch this. Moses received the law from heaven, but the church received the Holy Spirit from heaven. Jesus was the interlude, but the Holy Spirit is the climax. Under law, you were obsessed with rules and regulations, which made you tired. But under grace, you were possessed by the Spirit of grace, which makes you strong. Under the law, you depended on self-righteousness to receive from God. But under grace, you depend on Jesus' righteousness to receive from God. Under law, living right was hard work and effort. But under grace, living right becomes easy and effortless. Under law, stress was a way of life. Under law, stress was a way of life. Under grace, rest is a way of life. Under law, your inner nature is unchanged. Under grace, your inner nature is completely changed. Under law, you had to keep yourself from breaking the law. But under grace, the Spirit keeps you from breaking his laws. The law depended on memorization, but the Spirit gives us inspiration. The law is strict to only what's written, but the Spirit goes above and beyond the written codes. Under law, you're rule-driven, but under grace, you are relationship-driven. Under law, you are hungry for power, but under grace, you can give power to the hungry. Under law, you wait for your obedience to enjoy life. But under grace, you enjoy life today because of Jesus' obedience. Under law, you had to play the songs as written and dance to the music that was already created. But under grace, you can create your own songs, sing to your own songs, and dance to your own moves. There's no right or wrong under grace, only love, because love fulfilled the law. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Come on, let's celebrate Jesus. Come on, let's do a better job than that. You are 100% righteous. You are 100% righteous. Anybody feel this Spirit coming alive? Hallelujah. There's a joy deep down inside of you. There's a peace deep down inside of you that's coming to life right now. Come on. The Lord just said to me, provision flows out of you. Provision flows out of you. The minute you look for provision to come from outside of you, you no longer are in the flow of grace. Everything you need comes from within you. God says provision flows from within you, not from without you. So say, I have everything I already need in Christ. I no longer depend on the flesh or the law to be the basis of my righteousness. My spirit is alive in Christ. That's the real me. And I'm going to follow the leading of the Spirit every day of my life. Holy Spirit, I surrender to you, and I'm asking that you will teach me how to get the soul out the way and the body under subjection so that I can fully be alive to my new righteous identity in the Spirit.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.